are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So we have been speaking about covenants the whole week. We look at what they are, why we have them, the issue of blood covenants. You know, we look at those things, the good and the bad, the sweet and the sour, whether, you know, the consequences and the blessings that come through with that. And today we want to look at, you know, are they still valid? You know, the validity of this covenant. And yes, my pastor, Pastor Hangoma, is joining me back again. Pastor Murubwanji.
Bueno, muy bonjour.
I just end there. I'm good, Mfundiswam. How are you?
All right, thank you. I hope I find you well.
I am good, Pastor. You know, every time I'm taught how to respond back after that, and every time I always forget. I know how to say Murubwanji, but after that, I'm being taught all the time, and it disappears. But one day, Mfundiswam, my promise, I'll say it.
No, it shall be well. And how do you greet in your native?
Hey, I speak a lot of languages, so I don't know.
A lot of languages.
Sawubona is the easiest one.
Sawubona.
Yes, sawubona. Now, unjani?
Sawubona.
Yes.
Kunjani.
Yeah.
Kunjani is
how are you?
Kunjani is more familiar. Okay, I see.
Yes. Yeah, one day we're teaching each other here. What's a mid-morning empowerment? I'm going to ask that you pray Mfundiswami before we start.
Shall we pray? Our Father of unrecycled mercy and love, we would like to thank you for your love and kindness toward humanity, that you're able to gather us from all walks of life, that we can use this particular space to evangelize your word. We thank you for this particular time. As we venture into your word, we just want to invoke your presence and that you may be with us. This is our honest ask in the name of Jesus, because you do not fail. Amen.
Amen and amen. So, Mfundiswami, do covenants exist today? Are they still valid as they were in the past?
Okay. Well, interesting. We have covered so much about covenants, what they are, and we applied to our day-to-day language. And if at all a nation has a certain covenant with another nation, they would put some sanctions. If at all this particular nation won't follow what they have agreed. And maybe to come to the reality of the question, the covenant, yes, they exist today. It is called a new covenant. This new covenant is surely as valid as was the old covenant. Remember, when Christ came, he gave us a new covenant, meaning we are no longer sacrificed blood. He is the everlasting sacrificial lamb that we have. He was the picture. In the olden days, of course, we had another. He's the law, and everything is fulfilled in him. So yes, it exists, and he's the one that fulfilled the law, everything.
So with this covenants, Mfundiswami, it means that it's the ones that are between men and God, not us and priests and pastors and all of those things, eh?
Say it again. I missed it.
I'm saying that with this covenant, the one, is it multiple of them, or is it just one covenant that exists between men and God?
We have one covenant that exists between man and God, apparently, which is the eternal covenant. Of course, man is the nation and man, they make their own covenant. But we have one covenant which is everlasting, which can never be broken, which is the God and man covenant. These ones which are there, they are there, but they are not sustained. But we are talking about a fundamental covenant that every time God is willing to fulfill, and humanity must cling to that particular covenant that is everlasting.
All right. So when we're looking now at modern day covenants, I don't even know if those are there. But if they are there, what do they look like? What do they entail? Like, can I make a covenant with my church? Well, because that would be a modern day one. I mean, Jesus has paid it all. So do we have modern day covenants? What would those look like? What would they entail?
Well, interesting. But look here, modern or new covenant entails that a covenant people, we live not as we please. That's number one. But as the conditions of the covenant we are in with God. Look, it's being new comes with new dimensions, in that the standard for meeting it requirement is actually placed right within us altogether. Okay. He says, I will put my laws in you.
Mm.
And he's the one that actually, again, I'll go back to my favorite quotation, both to will and to do. He gives us the power. So its newness tells us that the dimension, that the standards for meeting its requirements is placed right within us.
Mm.
And that's the new bone of Christ in our lives. That's how the modern or the new covenant is actually fulfilled.
So looking at that, can covenants be changed? I'm still on that issue that, you know, we can't really, you know, hold God accountable and everything like that. But can we change covenants, be it the ones that we have with God, be it the ones that we have with our churches, with people and so forth and so on? Can we really change them, or once it's set in stone?
Mm-hmm. Well, look, the change would not be in the overall covenant per se, really. Let me make a disclaimer. But in certain features around the covenant, especially as would be necessary to aid humans to sustain the covenant. Otherwise, the overall covenant or the overall content of the covenant is maintained.
Mm.
Look, we would actually renew our covenant with God by returning to Him every time we realize that we have turned away from Him. And we should sorrow for our sins and completely turn away from them. We would be accepted unto God if we would actually agree to come back to the new covenant. So it's not the entire, but some things can be changed. And those things that can be changed, look at what happened. Back then it was an idea of the animals. But that was removed because God saw it as a burden on humanity. He says, it is too much on you. You can't manage to sustain this. So I've given you myself, you know. And then when he went, before he ascended to heaven, he says, I've given you one particular thing that you must do in remembrance of me. And that is actually pain here now. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 24, he says, and when he had given thanks and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So all these other things altogether, it's a matter of the renewal of the covenant and keeping up to speed the requirements of the covenant. Because you cannot manage to be doing the animal sacrificial lamb and things like that. So he has given us another way through which we can maintain the requirements of the covenant.
So if these covenants can be changed, doesn't it give us a leeway where, like, now I'm tired? And then I'm like, God, me, I'm tired. You know, I can't with this our agreement. I can't continue anymore. Or it's too tough and everything. Can we change it? Doesn't that give us that leeway that now we can become lazy? We can run away from responsibility, in fact, because we can change it.
Well, I would blunderly say no, because again, I said the change will not be in the overall covenant, but in certain features around the covenant. And one of the features around the covenant were, in the olden days, I said it was an idea of sacrificing lambs, the bulls and whatnot. So those things were kind of trainier or maybe heavier on humanity because they could not afford to be buying those birds and things like that. So things that were strenuous of humanity and in the love of humanity, God does not actually understand that. He just removes things that he knows, okay, you cannot attain because of your financial whatever. But the point is, in Christ, everything is fulfilled. So the only thing that was tempered with is to remove these things that you cannot, the picture or the shadow is removed. Now the fullness of the law is here. So it's not really changing the covenant as they say, but the features that we are pointing to the overall covenant that were removed. So we are not safe to remove.
Mm-hmm. We're having a comment that is coming through on our WhatsApp line, Mpundiswami. The listener is saying that, so it took 4,000 years for God to realize that killing animals is too much for mankind. I didn't want to laugh first.
did it took 4,000 years for him to realize that, okay, this is too much for humanity? We would not be very safe to say it took him that longer. Because look here, the Bible puts it very clear. It says, immediately, and actually it was the first one that actually thought of this particular idea was God. Before humanity thought that we are lost, it was God that came to look for humanity. And in looking for humanity, he has to come himself and fetch for him. He said, Adam, where are you? But then there is a process of the children of Israel preparing for the Son of Man to be born. He was supposed to be born at a certain time. So that's the Bible days. So the fullness of time was only calculated and understood by God. So we cannot say, this God is not kind. Why did he have to wait for all that longer for him to bring this? We can always go back to the Bible says, when the fullness of time had come, the Son of Man had what? Had come. So there was need for certain things to happen before that particular thing, of course, came through. So it's not really done in terms of that he doesn't care. Why did he wait for that particular longer time for him to send his son? He said, we have already wasted a lot of money on this thing, but why sending him now? God works in time. He operates in eternity, but yet he speaks in time.
Yeah. The same listener again is also reiterating the point where you mentioned changing the covenant, saying that it's not man who changes the terms of the covenant. Mm-hmm. It's
That's
God. Mm-hmm. So we are not at liberty to change because we feel we are tired. God is the one who updates the covenant. But Vundi, since you're agreeing with the listener there, so how then do we know that God has updated this covenant? Because sometimes, you know, this connection to God, it breaks in between. We are human beings. We fall sometimes. So how then do we know that this covenant that I had with God, or God had with me, it has now been updated, but me, I'm still working on a Windows 7 and God is now on Windows 10.
Exactly. I was going to use an example of the Windows 7.
Yeah.
Is the covenant like a computer or a phone that after 2 years we have to update and say, okay, now we must update and go to Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 9, Windows 20, and whatnot, whatever that be. We might not be very safe now to apply that and say, it is updating the covenant. No, it was on Calvary. It was done once and for all, because the shadows which were pointing to what was yet to come, it was fulfilled on Calvary. And then we no longer focus on the shadow. We focus on the true image, who is Christ. So how can we know? It's our walk with Christ should be mirrored with the cross. That's the only thing we have now. It is the cross. And through the cross, we're able to check our earrings. And, you know, it is a mirror. When we check on that particular mirror, we can be able to know that, okay, I've gone away from this biblical replete that is supposed to help me to walk in this particular manner. The cross alone. We are not safe to say, after 2 years, there will be an updated version of how we are going to be saved. It was done on Calvary, and that was once and for all. That's an everlasting new covenant that we have altogether.
So which covenant then can God update? Because that one it's set in stone. That one we agree, it cannot be changed. So which one is it? The ones where we make on a daily, like, God, please say do this and this, because we've established that some covenants are vows and promises, you know. Are those the ones? But
yes,
the one for our salvation is set in stone. It cannot be updated, it cannot be changed, and so forth. But these daily ones that we make, those are the ones.
Well, interesting question. So updating the covenant, and as I give an example again of the cross. So every time when we err, we realize that we have gone away from the mainstream of the cross. The Lord gives us new frontiers of what he himself thinks is workable for me, not for you, but for me. He says, for you, what is going to work out is to walk in this particular path. So not really intuitively, but God communicates to individuals in a way through which he knows that they can be saved. I can use an example of languages and also kids. You know that we are born in a certain family for a reason. We are born in a certain state for a reason. Imagine, for some people, they were born in a certain state for some reason, and God knows better that these people, they can only understand me in this particular state. He could have made us be born in a certain state for us to understand him. So how do we know that how is that updated? So every time we make new agreement with God, not that God is changing, but it is us that have failed in a certain way. So he gives us new ways through which we can be saved. So every time, maybe yearly, and I'm sure you have heard people that say, this year, I don't want to be this, I don't want to do this. But at the end of the day, they find themselves again going back to the same. So when we go to Christ, we are able to update. You know, he says, do this in remembrance of me. And in the Adventist community, we have agreed that those that are baptized, they renew their covenant or update their covenant with Christ using the Holy Communion when we do it in remembrance of him. So if at all your walks with Christ were not okay at some point, through the Holy Communion, you are able to be drawn closer and closer to him. It's a very mouthful question, really. So yep. I cannot manage to exhaust everything in a statement. Mm. I just thought I could just start here and there to kind of share how we can update our covenant with Christ every day.
Indeed, Pundiswami, and we have a scripture reference that has been sent through in the book of Amos. I remember the other day you were speaking about the book of Amos as well. So this one is saying that almost 3 verses 7, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets.
Exactly.
So that is the scripture reference that we've been given. So looking at that, Pundiswami, we are in the end times. He's coming back. So since we are in the end times and in this day and age, what are the signs that exist today of covenants made by God? What is it that we can see that God there, he actually made a promise or a covenant to someone or us? What are some of those signs?
Interesting. You see, I'm going to go straight to Ezekiel chapter 20, verse number 12.
Mm-hmm.
Bible says, moreover, comma, I gave them my Sabbath as a sign between me and them, that they know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. So what is our sign in our modern day today? We have today the sign of God would include the rainbow. It reminds us of what happened. The Sabbath and baptism, these signs, as you can see, they range from the corporate to individual, which means that God's covenant can both be corporate or at individual level. Rainbow is a corporate, whereas the Sabbath is both corporate and individual sign. And baptism is very individual level. So these, when you see people that have a certain baptism in a certain way, you can tell these, they have a certain covenant with the Lord. The rainbow, which is the corporate, and also the Sabbath. The Sabbath is both corporate and individual. So these are some of the signs that God has littered around the Bible so that he can have a distinct people that when people look at them, they'll say, okay, these are the covenant people of God. And they have agreed. And through them, of course, we go back to Amos chapter 3, verse number 7. Through them, he has revealed something other people must learn as the covenant people.
I am Fundis. We have learned about covenants this past week. I'm still interested in Gakulu on the blood covenant, but everything else I have learned, Fundis. I promise I have learned. So we are going to be wrapping it up here. Any closing remarks, what we have spoken about from Monday up until today, covenants. If someone has just tuned in now, what is it that you would want them to take or want them to know about covenants before we wrap it up with a word of prayer?
Thank you so much. What would I say to somebody who just joined us today, or what could I summarize? Look, in the book of Genesis, the world, Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created. Verse number 2, it says, and the earth was without form and void. And then God created and gave the world a certain form that it can look beautiful as it was then. And then in chapter 3, the Bible says, Adam and Eve sinned. And when they sinned, the world kind of went into a form that is without form, a certain structure. It lost a structure. You can't tell what's happening here because of sin. So we can look at a picture of the antediluvians. So God has been looking for, after that particular thing happened, God has been looking for a certain sect of people that he can agree something with. And after he has made an agreement with that particular group, those people can become ambassadors for him. And throughout the Bible, God has had ambassadors. Look at the story of Noah. He has his family. He started with a family. So God would make a covenant with a family that particular family can become an evangelist for other people. So God, in our modern day today, the whole desire is to save the entire world, regardless of what they have done. If they are willing to be saved, he wants to save them. So he's using families. He's using individuals. He has made a certain agreement. He has made a retreat. But for the people that he has made a covenant with, he has not only blessed them with good health. He has not only blessed them with finances, but he has blessed them. He said, if you that have given the covenant, you must follow. Then all these things, talk about finances, talk about health, talk about the way they live, things will be okay. So that those that have not yet known you, they will follow me, not because of the blessing, but because they know that out of following me, it's not only the spiritual thing that you benefit, but even other things of social life you actually benefit. So in the name of the covenant. People can use blood, they can use whatever, but if today we can injure ourselves with bloody things, maybe where we tear ourselves in order to make a covenant and an agreement with somebody, we are but wasting our time. Why so? It's because once and for all, Jesus died, and there's no more need to shed blood in order to make a certain retreat with our neighbor, with our friend, with our businesses. There is no need to go to a sangoma in order for us to excel in our businesses. I'm sure a sangoma is something that is close to what we all understand, right?
Yes, yes.
So there's no need to go there and make a retreat so that we can make a covenant with him. By the way, as God is making a covenant with humanity, even the devil is making a covenant with humanity. We must be very keen to understand that God has a way through which he wants things to be done. So God is looking forward to save the whole world. He can use you, he can use me to save my neighbor, to save another person, and to save me. He wants to use me to save me. He is the best covenant-keeping God. He wants us to learn from him on how this thing can be done. There is an everlasting covenant. All these covenants that were there, they were pointing to him. They were not useless, but they were pointing to the Son of Man who is who was yet to come, and he came. But are we erring? Are we found that we are on the other side of not keeping the covenant? In Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18, he says, I'm seated here, sit there, let us reason together. And when we reason together, we agree, and we will see how far we can move together. If you cannot manage this, I'll give you, I understand you, Meander. I know what is best for you. I understand you. Because before you were born, Jeremiah 1 verse 5, I knew and I've got a plan for you. So I understand you better than you think I do, than you think you do. So I am better at this. So learn from me. And in everything, and in me, everything is actually fulfilled. So don't look elsewhere. Don't look for another thing. The songwriter says, I need no other evidence. It is enough that Jesus can give me everything. So I think that's those are my closing remarks about the covenant and about what we should do as humanity in the presence of the covenant. We cannot manage to do it on our own. We will kill ourselves if we want to do it on our own.
True.
On our own, we cannot manage. But with Christ, it can be done. And lastly, it reminds me of Nicodemus, who went to Jesus to ask for the truth. I'm going to say that again. He went to the truth to go and seek for the truth. Hmm. But a man walked away without the truth. Hmm. There is a danger in going to the truth to go and seek for the truth and walking away without the truth, because your heart is going to be hardened. So as we go to the covenant-keeping God to go and seek for the truth regarding the covenant, we should walk away with what it means in its exactness altogether. Thank you.
He went to the truth to seek the truth, but he walked out without the truth. Hi, Fundis, you can now press, you pray for us. That is what we call drops mic.
Shall we pray? Thank you so much for your time. Let's pray. Loving Father, we are grateful that you were able to gather us in this particular manner just to share your word regarding the everlasting covenant. This thing is about you, and it can be sustained by you. Ours is to surrender, like the songwriter says, I surrender all to Jesus. But sometimes we can sing, I surrender all to Jesus, but in our hearts we don't mean it. Our ask, dear Lord, is that you may give us power both to will in giving ourselves to you and even to do in giving ourselves to you. Thank you so much for this particular space. I pray that you may bless the listeners and everybody that has been participating in this thing. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much for joining us here on Mid Morning Empowerment. May you have yourself a blessed day and a blessed, super blessed, super, super blessed Mfundisi. I don't know if there's such a thing, but a super, 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 super blessed Sabbath.
Thank you and blessings to you. I'm grateful for your time. Hey?
Amen and amen, Pastor.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.